Welcome to Life, Lemons and the Law, a podcast from Clark Wilmot. Now, this series of the podcast is focused on an issue that affects the legal sector, as well as many other sectors and society as a whole. And as we're going to hear, it's particularly relevant in the UK. We're talking about social mobility. We're investigating how it affects many in society and why that's important, not only from an ethical perspective, but also from a business one. My name is Ed Palmer, and on the podcast we have Peter Swinburne, Sarah Atkinson, and Karen Higgins. So if you don't mind, everyone, if you could introduce yourselves, tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do, starting with you, please, Peter.
I am Peter Swinburne. I am the Chief Executive of Clark Wilmot. My primary role is to oversee and manage the implementation of the firm's strategy, and we have seven mission strategies, of which ESG is a core part of that.
Now we've mentioned ESG, Karen, let's come to you. Karen, can you tell us a little bit about you and what you do?
Thanks, Ed. Yeah, so I'm Karen Higgins. I lead on the firm's ESG strategy. So that's environment, social and governance, which basically really means minimising the impact we have on the environment around us and maximising the positive impact we have on the communities around us and doing it in the right way.
Sarah, can you please explain who you are and what you do?
Yes, hello, I'm Sarah Atkinson. I'm the Chief Executive of the Social Mobility Foundation. We're a national charity that works across the UK with and for young people who are full of ambition and talent and aspiration, but who lack the resources to be able to achieve their goals. Particularly, they come from low-income families, they're in schools and families that haven't had much access previously to higher education or to professional careers.
Sarah, you're talking about young people who don't necessarily have the opportunities that they deserve. Can you tell us a little bit more about why social mobility or lack of social mobility is a problem when it comes to careers and why it's something that organisations need to understand and consider?
Yes, so social mobility is about the link between the circumstances in which you grow up, particularly the occupation and the money in your family, your parents or your family you grow up with, and the outcomes that you can expect in terms of your income and career. If you've got low social mobility, and we have got low social mobility in the UK, that means that we can predict fairly well from the circumstances in which you grow up, the outcomes, the career outcomes, the earning outcomes that you'll have. If you come from a low income family where no one has been in professional careers, your chances of earning well and getting into a professional career are much lower. And that's regardless of how hard you work, how talented and capable you are, or how much you want it.
Is social mobility improving in the UK, or are we consistently failing these people?
Yeah, I'm afraid the bad news is that social mobility is at its lowest for 50 years, says the Institute of Fiscal Studies. So they look at the intergenerational mobility, what's happening to a generation year after year. And unfortunately, particularly the result of the pandemic and the economic shocks that we've had around that pandemic and cost of living crisis, we've reversed some of the progress. The extent to which your outcomes are determined by the circumstances in which you grow up are just as acute or more acute than they've been for 50 years. That's the bad news. The good news is that are absolutely things that we can do with the support of partners like Clark Wilmot to overcome that and to create opportunities.
Well, I guess that's both surprising and depressing. Thank you, Sarah. Now, Peter, obviously you're a law firm. Is the lack of social mobility in the UK something that you have experienced specifically in the legal sector or something that you have witnessed over the course of your career?
Yes, I think it's fair to say that social mobility has been a major issue in the legal sector. When I was coming through the process, I'm an early noughties qualified solicitor. And when I was coming through the process, really the only entry point into the legal profession really was to go through your law degree, legal practice course, training contract, and to qualify as a solicitor. There was a legal executive route into the profession that existed, but really wasn't recognised at the same level and with the same status and hierarchy that solicitors and associates and partners are considered to have. There was a major issue, really. It was an entry barrier, and it sort of manifests itself all the way through the school system, I think, really. There was a requirement to be taking your 3A levels into a university degree, getting a strong degree from a strong red brick university, and entry into a firm to undertake your training contract. So it's something that I have witnessed has migrated and changed during the course of my career in the legal profession. And Clark Wilmot particularly are really hot on this. We've operated, certainly from 2010-11 onwards, we've operated a strong paralegal route into the legal profession. But we've been working very hard to bring juniors on board from all levels and entry levels. And that is a core part of our social mobility charter, really, in terms of what we're trying to achieve as a firm. We are opening up as many avenues to qualification as we possibly can. I am absolutely committed. Some of the best qualified solicitors and associates and partners that I've worked with are people that have worked in the job, in the business, and have been sat alongside me and have sort of grown holistically and practically alongside me and have developed their knowledge whilst working on transactions and understanding how the office environment works. And I think it's very difficult to achieve that when you are sort of corralled through the university route and thrown into the world of big enterprise as a qualified solicitor. So what I foresee is a really excellent way of developing our next generation of good lawyers and staff across the entire organisation is to be bringing people in at a much earlier entry level and making them giving them the wings and the support and the ability to grow in the role and to develop their careers with Clark Wilmot.
And what's been the response both of Clark Wilmot colleagues and potentially the wider sector?
I have to say, I've been absolutely thrilled with the response. We have had a very open door policy on trying to encourage people from all backgrounds and demographics to be able to be part of the CW family. The feedback and the response internally has been absolutely phenomenal. I think we've been really pleasantly surprised and thrilled with the feedback. They are so engaged in this process and so excited and so motivated about what we can achieve here.
Karen, if I can come to you, you're leading on ESG strategy within the organization. So back to basics, why social mobility? Why is it important to you personally and for the organization? And what are your hopes for the partnership between Clark Wilmot and the Social Mobility Foundation?
So in terms of why social mobility, we knew that it was time for change in the firm. We knew externally that the marketplace had moved on, and we held focus groups around the country, which again, we had a great response to. And we discussed where we felt as a firm we could maximize our impact in our communities and what we felt our people wanted to get involved in. And what came out loud and clear was this focus on social mobility. And as Sarah said, it was all about fairness and about giving people equal opportunities to succeed, whether that be within law or in different career opportunities. And then we had to think about, well, how do we do this? We can't do this on our own. And the natural and obvious choice was partnering with the Social Mobility Foundation. The reason for this was, you know, the resources and the wealth of experience that the Social Mobility Foundation has, and also for our people to get involved in opportunities to actually get out in the community, either virtually or face-to-face, and speak to young people and offer their skills and talent and listen to stories and advise people and give them the benefit of their own experience and help them in their career choices going forward.
And is it something that your colleagues are already engaged in, the notion that social mobility is important? Is it something they're enthused by, the act of going out into the community?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've got a wealth of experience. I mean, Clark Wilmot has been going for 135 years now, and supporting the community is a foundational part of that. And in more recent times, we have got people that are mentoring students and young people. So it was there at the heart of the business. But what we've done now is given it a real focus.
Can you touch on some of the benefits that it might have, this process, for individuals within the organization as opposed to students looking to enter the legal sector?
Volunteering of any kind has huge benefits from those actually taking part in the volunteering, as well as the beneficiaries. And in this particular instance, in terms of mentoring, you know, developing your skills such as listening, questioning, being empathetic and guiding people along a process also opens people's eyes to the barriers that others face and gives that awareness and understanding to the situation. And the big thing for me, I think, is also it reduces that groupthink and realize that lots of different ways of thinking and that increase in diversity really helps to move a situation forward. So I think lots of skills can be developed through people taking part in this.
Yeah, as Karen said, you know, these kind of relationships between charities and companies, as well as between individual volunteers and individual students, can be really transformative both ways. You know, we are trying to achieve real change for the young people we work with. We're not just trying to tell them a story about opportunities that they can achieve if they work hard enough. So we want them to understand what they're going to need to do, build the knowledge, the confidence, as well as the experience of being able to make competitive applications to the difficult things they want to do, like go to university, secure solicitor training contracts, get into good jobs. We want to help them to understand as well what a good, successful professional life looks like, and that it's not just about being clever and passing lots of exams. It's also about building your communication skills, your ability to form relationships with people, to learn, to be part of a team. Real experiences of talking to professionals about what's helped them to be successful and what their job involves. Now, these are enormously valuable for the young people we work with. Karen's absolutely right. It's also these kind of conversations are hugely valuable for our partners, our volunteers. You get a different perspective. You learn what it is to coach and support someone who's had potentially a very different experience and background from you.
Fantastic. Thank you. Karen, back to you briefly. How are you letting colleagues know about the partnership? How are you getting them involved?
Well, as Pete mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, we held town hall type sessions where we invited the whole firm to three sessions that we ran virtually. The Social Mobility Foundation also joined us, and we were absolutely astounded by the response rate to those sessions. Also, the amount of people that reached out to us afterwards to tell their own story about the barriers that they'd faced, or to say, how can I help? How can I get involved? So that initial session was really positive, but obviously you have to continue and you have to continue with that momentum. So what we're in the middle of at the moment is we're calling them social mobility, cake and conversation sessions that are running in each of our offices where people can come along, have a cup of tea and a piece of cake, raise a little bit of money for the Social Mobility Foundation and continue the conversation and ensuring that we're building and continuing to build that awareness around the breadth of the situation. And as Sarah said, that this isn't improving and that we as a business have the opportunity to be part of the solution and not part of the problem. And then we're opening up some of the Social Mobility Foundation's programs to our people. So people can get involved in a program called the Recruitment Success Service, where they work with young people on their CVs, their covering letters, any query really that they have around careers advice. And then also allowing them to become e-mentors to sixth form students, which is a longer program of 9 months where our people will meet up virtually with students to, again, support them as they move along in their career advice and thinking about what it is they want to do in the future and how to help them to actually get there.
Sarah, clearly Clark Wilmot and Clark Wilmot colleagues are sold on the importance of addressing social mobility issues. But can you paint a picture around why an organization should be interested in the benefits of addressing social mobility from a kind of organizational structure perspective?
Yeah, so I think as Karen and Peter have talked about, there are already people working in Clark Wilmot who don't come from what is the typical background for a lawyer, who want to feel that they belong, that they can talk about their backgrounds, their experiences, the things that they bring, perspectives that growing up, you know, cost consciousness, ability to problem solve, speaking kind of directly, talking straight. You know, these are like strong working class values that people bring. So you've already got people in the workforce who want to talk about this and these capabilities and these values, as well as recognise some of the challenges that they have overcome or are still facing. You've also got a pipeline of fantastic talent. There are some very capable, talented, smart people who, if you don't make it a bit easier for them to get in, you will miss out on. And every business in every sector needs more smart people. It is also, I think you talked about groupthink. In legal services, you are a service business. You've got clients from all sorts of backgrounds and perspectives who want two things. They want the best possible advice that you can give them, and they want to build a relationship with a firm. And if you want to build relationships with people and give people great advice, then if you only have one perspective around the table, one sort of person, you're making it much harder for yourselves.
That diversity of perspective, Peter, presumably has increased as time has gone on. And have you seen the benefits to the organisation? Have you seen the benefits to Clark Wilmot as you've increased that diversity of perspective?
Yeah, absolutely. I wholeheartedly second everything Sarah just mentioned, actually. I mean, for us, I mean, we're family, we're a kind and caring organisation. We want all of our people to be happy and safe here. And to achieve that, you need strength and depth of your offering across all of the piece. We know we need teams that comprise a wide range of varied people so that people bring different strengths and talents to the equation. And we have got a much more diverse workforce now, and that has absolutely complemented our offering to the marketplace and internally, you know, our internal networks as well as our external networks. It gives us the ability for us to be able to shape our offering to our client base. As Sarah mentioned, clients also come from all backgrounds, and I think the strength and depth of the teams and the offering that we provide enables us to best meet our clients' requirements and expectations. And the diversity of our practice has enabled us to do that.
Okay, so litmus test now. You're a CEO. What are you most looking forward to in terms of the partnership with the Social Mobility Foundation?
Just quickly on that, Ed. I mean, my background is quite interesting because I can give you a little bit of an anecdote about my own personal experiences in that I came through a good state school environment and went off to do my A-levels. But when I went to Birmingham University to do my degree, I was totally and utterly out of my depth, struggled for confidence, didn't feel like I met the demographic background of a number of my peers in that cohort, and really struggled to settle in. My first year was really, truly awful, to be honest, and I very nearly decided not to progress with law. I just felt totally out of my depth, sort of imposter syndrome, I suppose, to a certain extent. But it's that feeling of not fitting, that feeling of not being able to meet the requirements, and that feeling that you're not good enough is a horrible place to be. You know, I really had to dig deep to get through my degree. I didn't really enjoy my LLB, to be honest. And it's only when I got into the working environment that I really started to thrive. And it's that feeling of sort of challenge and adversity and having to really try and get through the process and be accepted that has inspired me. And that's why I'm so incentivized and so encouraged by this wonderful partnership with the Social Mobility Foundation. It's something that I feel very passionate about. I want to encourage people from all generations, all demographics, all backgrounds to be able to have an environment, an ability and an opportunity like I had. What I would like to bring to the party is the ability to help others do that, you know, be proactive. The recruitment success service is a prime example of that, being able to encourage younger members to know what they need to be finding to hit that sort of real sweet spot so that employers are interested by people's CVs and people's backgrounds and histories. We are, as a profession, I think we are going to struggle for that next generation. The barriers in terms of the academic system are very expensive and really difficult to meet now, and it still creates that sort of slightly elite feeling that the legal profession sort of carries. As I say, the Recruitment Success Program is something that I feel excited about because actually I can provide a little bit of personal experience to try and help people get onto that ladder. So many people want to be part of this and are excited about what we can bring. And I think it's about sharing experiences back, helping the next generation understand that it is eminently achievable and they can get there. And actually just a little bit of help and support can get you there.
You talked about your struggles when you were at Birmingham. What did you feel you came up against? Was it a lack of acceptance? Was it that you were intimidated by that sense of elitism you've described? I mean, did you feel rejected by the sector?
I think any lack of acceptance was in my mind. I don't think it was people being deliberately difficult with me. It was the fear of the elitism. It was the fear of not being able to compete, that I didn't fit. My background was different to 90% of the people on my course, you know, without sort of going into the social demographics too much, but a lot of them were very privately educated at very senior private schools in the country. I came from a different background. I'd experienced different things. I'd had much more commercial experience, I think it's probably the best way of putting it. I felt like I'd had more life experience. And so I brought a different complexion to the group. And I would have absolutely loved an opportunity to have spoken to somebody through something like the Social Mobility Foundation to help support me through that process.
So, Karen and Sarah, what can businesses be doing to support improving social mobility? Sarah, to you first, please.
Yeah, so as well as the direct partnerships we run, like this one where we offer opportunities for volunteering, connection with the students and work experience, we also work with employers to try and get them to examine their practices for social mobility. We do something called the Social Mobility Employer Index, which is about, we share our advice on the typical things that work and are effective when it comes to outreach, recruitment, collecting data, using your relationships with others in the sector to progress social mobility, because there are absolutely things that organisations can do that are helpful. There are also things that organisations very often do that are not helpful. They're not meant to make life difficult for people from working class backgrounds, but the impact of unpaid work experience and internships, for example, or of narrowing your recruitment to only a particularly narrow group of elite universities because you are thinking, well, we want the most intelligent and hardworking and successful people, so this is where they are to be found. This is operational practices that are really common, but actually it makes it that much more difficult for talented people from non-professional backgrounds to get those opportunities to be seen in the first place or to build their experience. So we share lots of advice through the index for individual organisations to benchmark and reflect their own practice, but also more broadly, we are always in a campaign to encourage all employers from all sectors to take steps to look at what they're doing for social mobility, to start the conversation, to say, you know, is this something that we are experiencing? Is this something that matters to us? And is this something that we should do more about?
So in addition to, Sarah, what you said, you talked about reducing the barriers. And what we found is through the social mobility cake and conversation sessions, talking about the barriers is actually bringing them to the forefront, putting on them on the table, and for everyone to actually realise that these barriers do exist. And people have reached out to tell their own stories. And I know certainly we were really touched by some of the stories that we heard and humbled by some of the stories we heard. And in terms of the Social Mobility Employer Index, so we've got our bespoke results back, plus we have the key findings document that the Social Mobility Foundation have released. And we're working our way through all of that information to think, well, what can we do? So we're doing this work externally, but we also need to look internally at our own business, look at our recruitment practices, look at how we progress people within the firm, look at advocacy, all the other things that we could do to make life easier and make life fairer and to give more equal opportunities.
Great, thank you. And actually, final question to you as well, Karen, if you please. What's next?
Well, lots, lots next. So we said earlier that this is really something that's close to our hearts, which it absolutely is. This is the first of a number of podcasts, and the next ones are going to be around people telling their story. So we're going to have other people here, and we're going to continue the work with the Social Mobility Foundation programs. We're going to get more people involved in the Recruitment Success Service. We're going to get those mentors in place working with young people and looking at what we can do internally to improve within our own organization.
Fantastic. Thank you. Thank you, Karen. Thank you, Sarah. And thank you, Peter.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me on the podcast, giving me the chance to talk about something we're mutually passionate about. It's been brilliant.
Thank you ever so much for your time, and I really enjoyed it. Thanks ever so much, and thank you very much to the Social Mobility Foundation.
Thank you very much to Peter and Karen and Sarah for coming on Life, Lemons and the Law, and thank you everybody for listening. I hope that you're going to join us on some future episodes where we will dig a little deeper into the effects of that lack of social mobility and hear stories from guests from all walks of life who've come up against these barriers and how that affected their lives and their careers, and in many cases, how they overcame those barriers. If you'd like to find out more about the Social Mobility Foundation, as well as the work of Clark Wilmot in this area, you'll find the webpage links in the show notes. Until next time, thanks very much for listening.